And I'm just going to confess to you, I actually gave this sermon a couple of weeks ago at my church. And when I was asked to come here, I decided this is a really great couple of verses to kind of dive into this morning. Paul wrote the book of Romans, and he's writing to churches in Rome. And he is encouraging them, showing them where they have been and where they should be today and where they should be going as believers. And in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 are very impactful verses because it really speaks about our commitment to God. We think about commitment, obviously one of the things that first comes to mind is our commitment to our spouse, our loved one. It's a big commitment, right, to find that one person that you say you're going to spend the rest of your life with, that you're going to make a family with, a life together. It's quite the commitment. And you know how much your spouse or loved one is committed by the relationship, how much you communicate, how much time you spend together, the things that you do together. We know the commitment of our spouse by how they treat us. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, in a way, is about our commitment to God. What is our relationship that we have with God? How committed are we to God in our daily life, in our daily walk? With our spouse, we can look at them and we can communicate and we can talk, but God is not someone that we can see. God is not someone that we can touch, that we can just call up on the phone and hear his voice and have that communication. But there's other ways that we do communicate with God. There's other ways that we can show God how much that we love him as he shows us through the love of Christ how much he loves us. So Romans chapter 12 verses 1 and 2 are about that commitment, and then as we commit, how we live out that commitment in an act of worship. So before we get into scripture, let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for this day, we thank you for this time, and we thank you just for all the things that you do for us in life. And as we open up your word this morning, as we dive into the words that Paul wrote, that were encouraged to him by the Holy Spirit, we pray the Holy Spirit moves in us this morning, illuminating your word to us, showing us exactly what we need to see so that we can understand what we need to understand in order to be that person that you need us to be. Father, I pray you give me the words I need this morning to convey that message, that where maybe I have lost in my study and my reading or misinterpreted or misunderstood, that you fix that this morning. Just give me the words, and that I do so with great love, courage, and conviction. Father, I also pray that wherever I have failed in my life, in my commitment to you, that you forgive me of that this morning as well. Again, we are thankful for all that you do, and we just praise you and we love you. It's in the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. So here we are in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. He says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. So first he uses the word therefore. So therefore is connecting something that he just wrote with what he's about to write. And so he's been talking throughout the book of Romans about the world and the changes that we should have in our life and our commitment. And he's connecting that to this, and he says, brothers, by the mercies of God. By the mercies of God. What does he mean by the mercies of God? And this is where we begin to understand commitment. God's commitment to you was that he loved you so much that he wanted to have you or give you the ability to be reconciled with him. That is, that since we had that separation because of Adam and Eve, he wants us to be together. But there's a very specific way that that has to take place, and it has to take place through Jesus Christ, who gave of himself on the cross in order for you to be reconciled with God. So that through your belief in that, that you now have a relationship that you can commit to God. That's what God has done for you. He gave essentially himself to you. That is God's mercy on us. We don't deserve that. We really don't. But God has mercy on us and loves us so much to provide that for us. So then as we understand then what that means, that the mercies of God and how that affects us, then we have to think about what is the right response to that. Surely our spouses, your loved one, your parents, someone has given you a gift in your life that was just overwhelming. And then as human beings that we are, we have to think about, well, what's our right response to that great and incredible gift? I find it harder. We've been married for 26 years, and I find it harder every year to top last year's gift. Right? At least that's what men try to do, because we want to win. We want to give the best gift. And we try every year to make the next year's gift a little bit better, a little bit more special, something memorable. That's what we try to do. We're looking for the right response to what was given to us the previous year. God gave his only son, put him on a cross for us, so that we can be reconciled with him. What is our right response to that act that God has done for us? Is it simply just to come to church every Sunday and sing a few songs and give some money and then go home? Or is there more of a commitment that we need to have? Is there a better response to what God has done for us? And the answer is always yes. There is a better response. There's always something better that we can do. I believe that all my coaches throughout whatever I played lied to me. Practice does not make perfect, because perfection does not exist. Now, when you're a child growing up, you don't realize that. You want to work hard. I want to be perfect for my coach or perfect for my teacher or whoever. But then as we get older, we realize, wait a minute, that perfection can't be obtained. But that's not really the point, is it? It's not that we want to be perfect. It is that we are committed to trying to be perfect. That we are committed to do everything that we can do to execute the plan that our coaches, our choir teachers, our parents have tried to instill in us. It's about that commitment that we make in the process. So our right response then is not to try to be perfect, but to try to do everything within our power to try to achieve that, knowing that we'll never obtain it until the day that God calls us home. But we should be committed to at least trying. So again, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. So if God's right response to his creation was to come in the flesh and to die for us, then what is our right response to that? And that is to give everything to him. If we think about our life before Jesus Christ, our bodies were committed to doing all the things that probably God didn't want us to do. We were committed to doing the things that we just wanted to do. Go the places that we wanted to go. Do the things that we wanted to do. But when we come into a life of Christ, then that means that we are making a commitment to God. And that means our focus is no longer on us. Our focus is now on him. And understanding who he is, and understanding what he wants of us, and being committed to being that person. It means that we have to sacrifice ourselves. Now, when we hear the word sacrifice, immediately what we want to think of is, or what we think of, is actually a sacrifice, someone who gives up their life for someone else. Military, for instance, or Jesus Christ himself, our great example. Another example in the Bible where we see a living sacrifice is Isaac. Isaac is said, or told, hey, come with me. We're going to go up this mountain and we're going to give a sacrifice to God. When you look at that story of Isaac walking up that mountain with his father, we don't see Isaac pushing back. We don't see Isaac really trying not to do what his dad is asking of him. He questions, hey, where's the sacrifice? Don't worry about it. Just come with me and God will provide. Isaac is the sacrifice. And he gets on the table for the sacrifice. But God stops it. Isaac was showing his commitment to God. So God doesn't necessarily want you to sacrifice in that sort of way. But what is something in your life that you can sacrifice in order to be what God needs you to be to do the things that he needs done? Sometimes maybe that's just sacrificing our time. Maybe that's sacrificing money. Maybe that's sacrificing something within our home. Maybe it's sacrificing our home to provide shelter for someone for one night. What does God need of you to sacrifice? He wants you to be a living sacrifice. That means as we give to him and as we commit more and more of our life to him, we are being a great example for other people. One of the things I've learned in my time on this earth is that people are watching even when you don't know they're watching. And that's tough because we can all think about a time where, you know, we said the wrong thing, did the wrong thing, cut someone off in our car. And you know you have. We've all done something in our life that probably wasn't very Christian-like. People are always watching. And as believers, as Christians, we have to be an example, not just in our words, not just on Sunday morning, but throughout our life, every day, of every moment. We have to be a great example, and we do that by being a living sacrifice, presenting ourselves to God in spiritual worship. You know, worship isn't just about coming here on a Sunday morning and singing songs. That's part of worship. That's communal worship. That's all of us coming together, praising God for all the things that he does. But worship has all different types of facets. We can do all different types of worship. Worship isn't necessarily song. Sometimes it's just looking out at the beauty of what God has shown us through his creation. You know, we live in a very flat land, in case you haven't noticed. Lots of farmland, which has its own beauty. But if you drive just a little bit to the north or a little bit to the west, you'll see something that we don't really see around here. They're called rolling hills. And some of them are very nice. There's a little spot that my wife and I like to drive up to every now and then, and it's not that far away, and I call it the best-kept secret in southeast Missouri. So just near Benton, this little between Benton and Chaffee and Oran, there's this little place, some rolling hills, a couple of farms, little cattle up there, and it is absolutely breathtaking. If you find the right spot, you can see the New Hamburg Catholic Church on one side. And if you look in another direction, you see where the hills drop off and you see flatland. It's absolutely beautiful. Right here near us. And we go there. To me, it's worship because that is me recognizing the beauty of God's creation. It's all around us. So when we give ourselves as a living sacrifice, we're doing so in worshiping God. It's a thanks to him for what he's done for us. It is praising him for all that he's given us through his sacrifice for us. What is our right response? Our right response is to give ourselves as a living sacrifice to him for anything that he asks, to do so without complaining, without questioning, and just giving of ourselves. And as we do that, we are worshiping God. And we're saying to God that what he has given us is holy and it's acceptable. Because what we give him is also holy and acceptable. Paul continues there in verse 2. He says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind." You see, the things that we have to understand as we become Christians, as we come into this life of Christ, there is something that takes place within us, a change that happens. And as we recognize that change, our thought process also changes. There are certain things that happen in life that make us change our minds. graduation from high school or college, because we realize that we can no longer just live with our parents for the rest of our lives, that we have to go out and make our own life. Marriage, that we have now someone else that we have to make sure that we are caring for and helping throughout life. The birth of a child will change you in incredible ways. But the moment that we accept Christ as Lord and Savior, it's the best change of them all. But when that change takes place within us, we recognize what God has done for us, another change takes place in our way of thinking, how we view the world, how we view people, how we view God, how we view ourselves. We are transforming ourselves, not to be the person that we want to be, but to be the person that God needs us to be. See, those are two different things. In my life, I've had goals and ideas of things that I've wanted to accomplish, but along the way, I've had to decide, was that a goal that I wanted, or is that a goal that God wants of me? They're two different things. And so we have to make that decision, that understanding that there are things that God wants us to do, to accomplish in life, because He needs them done. I'm often in awe of God and how He brings us into the ministry as He brings us into service. I mean, God created all these things. God can do whatever He chooses, but His choice is not for Him to do all these things. His choice is for us to come into the fold and to do these things for Him. It is a great honor and privilege to serve God. And so as we go through life and as we study Scripture and as we pray and as we continue to build our relationship with God, we are to be transformed into something different. Not to conform to the world, not to conform to what the world says that we are to be, but to be transformed into the person that God needs us to be. When we do what the world says that we should do, we are conforming to the world. That's not what God asks of us. He asks that we transform ourselves. Our minds control our bodies. And so we have to first transform our mind, which then transforms everything else about us. He says, Paul says, he continues there in verse 2, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. You see, as we go through life, as our relationship with God builds and strengthens, we realize a very important thing, that God's will is perfect. It may not be what we wanted to do in life. It may not be what we expected in life. But when we give up ourselves as a living sacrifice, it's no longer about us. It is all about God. Sometimes we question, God, why would you have us do this? Why would you do this? Why this and why that? Certainly Isaac, as he walked up the mountain, as he came to that realization that he was a sacrifice, surely why popped into his mind. But I learned a long time ago, 'tis not for me to reason why, but only for me to do what is asked. Sometimes we will never know why, and that's okay. We have to be okay with that, because God just asks of us to give ourselves as that living sacrifice, to be holy and acceptable to Him. And as we do that, and as our relationship grows, we realize that His will is perfect. God has plans for all of you. And what I would encourage you is to continue reading in Romans chapter 12, because the next verses 3 through 8 deal with spiritual gifts. And everyone has a spiritual gift. Everyone is expected to serve, not just pastors, not just Sunday school teachers, not just lay leaders, all of us. Because God has done something special for you. He gave Himself up for you. Now you have to ask, what is your right response? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for all the things that you provide for us in our life. We thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ. We just thank you for your love, your grace, and your mercy. And as we come to a close this morning in worship, and as they head to Sunday school, Father, we just pray that you continue to speak to us through the Holy Spirit. Show us who you are. Show us what you are wanting of us. And help us find that way that we can serve, that we can be that living sacrifice to you in order to do the things that you need done. Father, we just thank you and we praise you and we love you. It's in the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. It's time now for invitation. And I know there's an invitation song. And we're going to stand and we're going to sing that song. And so I don't know how everything goes here. I only know how I do things. So I always feel like when God's word has been spoken, there's got to be some type of response or at least an opportunity to respond. And that doesn't necessarily mean you come to the front. That doesn't necessarily mean you're doing something, anything special up front, but at least you're taking the moment to speak to God and to talk to God and to listen to God, which is even more important. Sometimes it's best for us just to shut up and listen and not speak. And so this morning, as we have the invitation, I just pray that you do that. Do business with God and respond in the way that you feel that he's wanting you to respond.
Let's stand and let's turn in the hymn book to page 601 and sing the first and last verse.